Put my trust in you, it's all that I can do. You never let me down, you kept me in the truth. Know who I am to you, place all my faith in you. You'll never let me drown, give all I have to you.
You found me when I was down on my worst. Top of the roof, I was right on the verge. Picture the box on the back of a hearse. Swinging that shovel, they dig up the dirt. Like, what is your angle? Don't mean it be curt. That's M-N-W-O. Felt like I came off the roads. I was alone on the road when we met by mistake around 3 in the morning. Beautiful solitude all by myself. Drew up the plan to wipe me off the shelf. Escape from the pain and my fortune it dealt.
You know my strategy came in and wrecked all my play calls. The weight of your love, it felt like a waterfall.
That's what you did, I don't deserve it. Pulled to the side, I was out swerving. Point 35, you gave me purpose, oh yeah.
I put my trust in you, it's all that I can do. You never let me down, you kept me in the truth. Know who I am to you, place all my faith in you. You'll never let me drown, give all I have to you.
What's up, LFA TV family? Welcome back to the Vontez Point. Thank you all of you for being here with me live in this transmission. And if you are live in the chat, make sure you sound off and let me know where you are watching from on this beautiful fine Tuesday, August 19th, 2025 live transmission. Now, I'm your host, Joey Vontez. And if you haven't been here before, we are live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. And we love for you to be here no matter where you're watching from. Whether you're watching on X, maybe Instagram, maybe you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or you're right here in the chat with us on Rumble, which is where we want you to be. Make sure you tune in and join with us right here on Rumble. You can drop your takes, drop your questions, meet our amazing community, and really just tap into so much more than what you would have access to if you're not here on Rumble. And check it out as well. If you're not familiar with our site, make sure you tap in over on lfatv.us. You can hop directly in, click on any number of our shows. You can check out the store, or you can click on the newsfeed button and get the latest popular conservative newsfeed from around the nation. All that's taking place, even globally as well. You're going to want to see this. Tap right in. Get all of this and so much more. Also, if you are new to the show, pop over to my website. Somebody, if you would, do me that favor. Pop in the site into the chat, joeyvontez.com, and you can simply click on the link directly from the chat or enter it yourself. Get right over to my website. If you're ever having any issues with the transmission from Rumble, you can click on this right here, this picture that says the Vontez Point. It'll take you to an alternative stream link that you can watch the live show from. Also, be sure to join the club, my Truth Uncensored members-only club. Only $5 per month. Anytime access to members, podcast interviews, different things of that nature. That's all there behind the scenes. You'll want to tap into this. We have some new content, a whole plethora of it that's going to be dropping at the end of this week. So stay tuned for that. You can join right there on my site, joeyvontez.com. You can also pick up some merch from my store, including my book, How to Fight Ideological Subversion. For only $10. It's a great find, great read, and you'll want to tap into that. You can also purchase any of the other merch there. Watch the documentary on my site, or you can make a donation and support what we do here. Be sure to do that right there on my site, joeyvontez.com. If you want to follow me on Instagram or X, you can do so at Joey Vontez, and we are still growing, 201 now, 1,000 followers that have tapped in, watching the information, watching the posts, supporting what we're doing, and pushing truth forward. I thank all of you for sharing this out and for connecting and for making this do what it does. And so I can't do this without any of you and without your help. So today we're going to tap right into this episode today because this is so important. All right. We're going to talk about something first and foremost outside of politics. I'm talking something bigger than politics, something bigger than policy, in my opinion. I'm talking about the battle for your body chat. And the war against weakness. Now, recently, RFK and Pete Hegseth, they got together, and they launched this physical physique challenge that is catching fire across the country. I'm tapping it into myself, and actually tomorrow, I'll be putting up a video of myself doing this entire challenge with a timer so we can check it out and see how it actually flows. But it's called the Fit Not Fat Challenge is what I'm calling it, at least. And here's the rule for it, okay? 100 push-ups, 50 pull-ups, under 10 minutes. And why does this matter? Okay, couple of reasons. First and foremost, because America is falling apart, not just in the halls of Congress in a lot of different ways, but in the hallways of our homes. We are the most medicated nation on earth. One of the heaviest, one of the sickest. Think about this for a second. They say that over 70% of adults in this country are overweight or obese. I mean, that's crazy. We're talking about every dollar that we save by cutting corners on discipline. We pay tenfold in hospital bills and broken lives because of the fact that people just don't want to take care of their health, okay? And so this challenge isn't just about flexing muscles. It's about flexing responsibility. And so let's make it plain. The official challenge is complete 100 push-ups, do 50 pull-ups, and do it in under 10 minutes. That's the standard. And this is what Hegseth and RFK had to say about this. Check this out.
All right, here we are in the bowels of the Pentagon for the Pete and Bobby Challenge. I think this was your idea, so I blame you. But it's all about Make America Healthy Again. We're going to be fit, not fat. We want recruits that are ready to go and challenge. What are we doing today, Bobby?
Well, Pete and I are going to do our part and encourage American youth to do this challenge. And the challenge is to do 100 push-ups and 50 pull-ups in any order you want in under 10 minutes.
So 5 minutes is the top standard that we want to meet.
You're not going to be able to do that.
Defense shark attack. You can do better, Ranger Tom! Let's go! Make your country proud!
Lieutenant Commander Gonzalez, you did the challenge in what time?
356.
356. 3 minutes and 24 seconds. Gunnery Sergeant Prince. Gunnery Sergeant High.
Two what?
243.
We want to send out a challenge to Sean Duffy.
I'm going to throw it on the military side a little bit, too. Let's challenge the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Raising Cane. And then my friend on TV, Will Cain. How about the Pete and Bobby challenge? 100 push-ups, 50 pull-ups. But we hope Americans will take this challenge and you'll pass it along so that we're ready to be fit the way we need to be healthy, and to have a healthy fighting force. Go get it.
Let's make America healthy.
Amen.
One more!
Yeah.
And this was tested inside the Pentagon's athletic center with teams of soldiers. Really, we're talking about sailors, Marines, airmen, and even civilians were in on this whole thing as well. But then RFK threw down something even bolder. He said, do it in 5 minutes. And as you guys saw, right, that's the heroic version. My goodness, some people clocking in. I think the lowest score there was 2 minutes and 43 seconds, which is absolutely insane. So Pete Hegseth clocked in, they said, at 5 minutes and 25 seconds, almost there. And then RFK was right behind him, 5 minutes, I believe, in 48 seconds. So you've got two benchmarks, right? The official 10-minute rule, if you will, the aspirational 5-minute gauntlet. And then either way, it's not about style points, okay? This is about proving you've got the grit to do hard things. And I love this so much, right? I mean, think about this. RFK's 71. Hegseth is 45. And so both of them are saying the same thing. Look, leadership starts with self-control. And that couldn't be more clear. I know for myself, controlling my appetites, controlling what I eat, what I put into my body, the discipline and the structure to get up and go to the gym and actually get fit. It starts right here, right? It's a mindset, and it does require self-control. So they're not hiding behind policy papers or slogans. They're sweating. Okay, they're straining and they're showing the nation what accountability actually looks like. And I think it's a rebuke of our soft culture. Let's be honest, chat. I think that's what it is. I think it kind of says, like, don't worry. You know, the culture that says, don't worry, just take another pill. The kind that celebrates comfort and excuses over courage and endurance. But strength is contagious. And here's why this hit me personally, because you don't need Congress to pass a bill in order for you to take control of your health, okay? You don't need Wall Street or Big Pharma. You just need a bar to pull up on, okay? Not one to drink in to get fatter. We're talking about that kind of bar. We're talking about a floor and some discipline so you can get to work and do what you need to do. Because the truth is, chat, if you can't master your own body and put it into subjection, how are you going to master anything else outside of yourself? And so if America is going to win the fight in the battles ahead that come, we need strong minds and we need strong bodies. Weakness is a liability, plain and simple. So I'm challenging everyone in here, chat. Okay, every single person that's watching the show right now today on this Tuesday, August 19, 2025 live transmission, you don't have to start at 100 pushups and 50 pullups. Start where you are and with what you can actually do, maybe 10 pushups, maybe one pullup, right? Just even hanging on the bar to kind of get familiar with it. But start somewhere. And every day, I want you to push a little bit further. The goal isn't to beat Pete Hegseth. Maybe it is, right? But the goal is to beat the weaker version of yourself, okay? And I want you to remember, right? Great armies, great empires, they didn't collapse when their armies lost their, you know, when their edge. They collapsed, I believe, rather when their citizens lost their discipline. And I guess if I can put it that way. Right? They didn't collapse just because of the fact that they lost the edge of their sword or whatever the cases or the edge of whatever they were doing. It was the fact that their citizens lost their discipline. They got too comfortable is what I'm trying to say. And so we're standing at the same edge, I believe, today, right? And a simple challenge like this with 100 pushups, 50 pullups, you know, and you'll make those steps as you can to get up to that point in 10 minutes. It may sound small, but really it's revolutionary. And I think it says America, you know, we're not done yet. And so anyway, that's what I wanted to bring to you today to give you some motivation here on the Vontaze Point and tell you, hey, get up and start taking this challenge in whatever way that you can. Now, as we pivot here, let's go to commercial break for just a quick second and hear a message from our sponsor partner, Birch Gold Group. Check this out.
Is the continued divide between Trump and the Federal Reserve putting us behind the curve again? Can the Fed take action at the right time, or are we going to be looking at a potential economic slowdown? And what does this mean for your savings? Consider diversifying with gold through Birch Gold Group. For decades, gold has been viewed as a safe haven in times of economic stagnation, global uncertainty, and high inflation. And Birch Gold makes it incredibly easy for you to diversify some of your savings into gold. If you have an IRA or an old 401k, you can convert that into a tax-sheltered IRA in physical gold, or just buy some gold to keep in your safe. But first, get educated. Birch Gold will send you a free info kit on gold. Just text the name Vontaze, V-A-N-T-E-S, to the number 989898. Again, text VANTES to 989898. Consider diversifying a portion of your savings into gold. That way, if the Fed can't stay ahead of the curve for the country, at least you can stay ahead for yourself.
And that is a message from our partner sponsor, Birch Gold Group. And again, look, if you have questions, if you're looking to diversify and you're looking to potentially maybe transfer an existing 401k or IRA into gold, or you're looking to buy some gold just to store in your own safe, these are the go-to guys. They're the source. They're the premier top dog in this space to do this with. They're trusted, they're reliable, and they want to help you out. So all you got to do is get your phone, text Vontaze, V-A-N-T-E-S, to the number 989898, and they will send you that free info kit. Okay, and it comes to educate you, give you all the details, answer all your questions, and then if you decide to make a move, great, you have the information and the resources to be able to do that. And it just makes it so much easier to go from that angle. No pressure, just straight facts and details. And then you decide the rest and what's best for you. And then you decide the rest and what's... Now, as we pivot into the so-called green revolution took place, the electric vehicle maker Rivian just admitted that it's facing a $100 million hole at this point. And it's not because consumers decided to walk away, not because innovation failed, but because President Trump rolled back an Obama-era fuel economy mandate. And my response is simple. It's simply this. If your business model depends on government mandates instead of actual consumer demand, you don't have a product. You have a subsidy with wheels. Okay. And let's kind of rewind on this for just a second, because for over a decade, Washington bureaucrats basically forced automakers into chasing these EV quotas, right? Right, chat? Fuel economy, basically, these standards weren't about choice. They were about this coercion that they put in place. And companies like Rivian didn't rise because Americans were, you know, lining up around the block to buy some electric vehicle. They rose because these policy or these policy makers, these politicians really began to rig the market. And they started slapping penalties on gas vehicles and handing out taxpayer-funded credits to anyone who basically slapped a battery in a car. And so now Trump basically comes in, looks at the data, and says, listen, we're not going to strangle the American automakers with unrealistic mandates. We're not going to punish families who actually want a reliable, affordable gas powered car. And so what happens next? Suddenly, Rivian claims, oh no, you know, hey, well, we're losing $100 million. But look, it's not because consumers stop buying, but because Uncle Sam isn't artificially titling the, tilting the playing field, if you will, in their favor anymore. And if we're being blunt about this, Chad, electric vehicles today are propped up by government subsidies, tax breaks, and credits. Yeah, some of them are nice. Some of them do some great things, you know. But without them, without these credits, these tax breaks, these subsidies, the demand isn't even close to sustainable. And why is that? It's because most Americans can't afford a $70,000 electric truck. They don't want to wait hours to charge it up, right? They don't want to the range anxiety when driving across the country. People want to pull up at a gas station, put the, you know, the gasoline in, take maybe 5-10 minutes at most if they're doing a dual tank or something of that nature, and get out of there. And the fact of the matter is that they can spend far less in utilizing a gas-powered vehicle that's much more reliable, without the charge anxiety and all that, the range anxiety that's associated with it, and it's much more easy. And so when governments, you know, when the government stops holding the IV drip, if you will, of taxpayer cash, companies like Rivian end up discovering the truth. They don't really have a business. They have a bailout disguised as innovation. I mean, you look at Tesla, right? I mean, love him or hate him, Elon Musk built something that people actually want. The Cybertruck didn't need a mandate to get attention. The Model 3 sold because consumers saw value, not because Washington forced it. So I think he actually did it right from a business sense, if you will. But that's what real demand looks like. But for companies like Rivian, they sold Wall Street dreams while leaning on Washington to carry the bill. And the moment the mandate vanishes, so does the confidence. And so the bigger point in all this is that the green lobby keeps telling us, right? EVs are the future. Gas is dead. Get with the program, right? But if something is truly the future, you don't need to bribe people into it. They're going to see it for themselves. You don't need to punish competitors just to keep it alive. The free market will decide for itself. And right now, the free market is basically sending a clear message. People want choice. People want affordability without question, and people don't want Washington picking winners and losers. And so the takeaway from all of this that I saw is that if Rivian or any company like it can't survive without a federal mandate, it's not a company. As I mentioned, it's a subsidy on wheels. Innovation will always stand on its own two feet. Subsidies, They collapsed the minute politicians changed direction. And so Trump, you know, relaxed the rules and overnight Rivian's mask came off. And I think as our watchers and viewers here on the Vontaze Point, we don't bow to any fake markets. We don't kneel to government mandates and we don't confuse bailouts with success. If you got a product, sell it. If you've got an idea, prove it, right? And if you need Washington to babysit your business model, you're not an independent person. You're not an innovator. You're a dependent. And that's really what it comes down to. And so anyway, this is what was said concerning the Rivian issue. Check this out.
I want to transition to this because Rivian is saying it's facing a $100 million hole after Trump rolled back fuel economy standards. Rivian, I've driven one. It's a good product. But boy, financially, they've got some real question marks.
It's a fantastic car. It's really cool. I haven't driven one. I can't afford one. They're incredibly expensive. But God bless the people who can afford one, right? But poor Rivian, their model was based on government mandates that were going to outlaw the combustion engine, tax incentives that were subsidizing your purchase of an electric vehicle, and then also these exuberant, these crazy standards coming out of the Biden EPA of CAFE standards, of tailpipe emission standards, that were punishing their competition. So if your business model is based on the power of government coercion to get rid of your competition, then you don't really have a product, right? What you have is force. And so no offense to Rivian, but now that you have to compete in the free world, in the free market, and you're not as profitable, that's not the fault of the Trump administration. It's the fault of a lousy business model that depended upon government to kick your enemies to the curb.
Yet you built your business model on the sky high dreams of a bunch of liberal idiots. So they're eventually going to get voted out. So good luck. No bailout. Daniel Turner, great to see you.
No, thank you.
And finally, somebody said the quiet part out loud. And thank goodness that that's the case. It seems like people are starting to come back to common sense chat in this country. And so it's a great thing to see how this is all playing out. But needless to say, wow, what a big punch in the face to Rivian. And I hope they wake up from this and maybe they can shift gears and do whatever they need to do. No pun intended. But at the end of the day, it's like you set your business up this way, then if things change, prepare to fail because things are not always going to remain the same. Like they say, if there's one thing that is constant in life, it is change. Okay. And so it is what it is. Now, as we pivot gears and switch a little bit here into this next segment, Hollywood is usually the last place that you're going to hear sanity when it comes to President Trump, right? I'm talking about like the fact of the matter is that we know all the woke idiocy and insanity that comes out of Hollywood. But every once in a while, someone in the machine decides and finally speaks truth. And this someone just so happens to be Chris Pratt. Okay. I'm talking about Guardian of the Galaxy, Chris Pratt. Yeah, I'm talking about Jurassic World, Chris Pratt. And he just roasted Trump haters so hard that the internet is still buzzing over this thing. He said this. He said, I'm quoting him directly, quote, I'd hate to be so mired in hatred for the president that any success for his administration is something that I have an allergic reaction to. It'd be like, oh, well, if they don't do it, I don't want it to happen. I'll put Clorox in my children's cereal myself, end quote. And he goes on to add a little bit more to this that I want you to see for yourself. Check out this piece from Chris Pratt.
In politics, you inherit enemies. And when you jump on on you know the bandwagon with who is, you know, the most divisive president ever, it makes sense that you're going to be made to look terrible. And so I don't know what to believe because it's not like I sit with Bobby and I go, so, hey, let's talk about this. Let's talk about it. It's like we're just playing cards or playing mafia or having fun or having dinner. I'm not going to pick his brain to find out exactly which of those things are true. I just kind of assume that none of them are. And for the most part, I wish him well, man. I hope there's certain things that he oversees that seem to be supported in a bipartisan way, like getting terrible toxic stuff out of our kids' food. I think that's a great thing. And so, do that, that's amazing. I'd hate to be so mired in hatred for the president that any success from his administration is something I'd have an allergic reaction to. To be like, oh, well, if they do it, I don't want it to happen. I'll feed my, I'll put Clorox in my children's cereal myself. Or, you know, right. It's like, come on, have some, be reasonable here. Right. There's certain things that would be a good thing to have. I want them all to be successful.
And I love what he says there at the end. He says, you know, it's like, come on, be reasonable here, right? There's certain things that would be a good thing to have, and I want them all to be successful. I mean, that's a complete mic drop in the face of the deep state and in the face of these woke, insane maniacs. Look, do you realize how rare this is, chat? In Hollywood, speaking common sense about Trump is basically career suicide in a lot of different situations. And so actors and actresses constantly live in fear of being canceled, blacklisted, or even cut off from studio contracts. I mean, I can attest to this myself coming out of the entertainment space in the music industry as a member of the Recording Academy, the very personnel who votes on who gets Grammys and who doesn't. Okay? I've been a part of this society for quite some time. And the fact of the matter is that once I started raising my voice on certain things, whether it be in support of Trump, whether it be in opposition to vaccines, when it comes to the various aspects there, there is a line that they say don't cross, because once you do, you start getting contracts pulled, sponsorships pulled, you're talking about opportunities canceled out on you and whatnot. And I witnessed that firsthand. So for the fact that somebody of the magnitude, stature, and prestige as Chris Pratt has and possesses, it's quite wild for him to do this. And so hats off to him for doing so. And look, here's Chris Pratt, one of the biggest stars on the planet, saying what millions of Americans have already been saying and know, right? That hating Trump so much that you would root against your own country's success? I mean, that's absolutely insane. But think about the last 8 years for a second, that every time Trump succeeds, the left completely melts down. The deep state goes into panic mode. Stock markets hit record highs again, and they're angry about it. Jobs, they start coming back. Right? They get bitter about this. Peace deals in the Middle East and across the world, and it gets mocked and it gets torn down. Why? Because Trump's success exposes the lies of the deep state and the things that they try to run on to continue to deceive people into believing that the Democratic side is the party of the people. And look, for them, okay, politics is more important than prosperity, in a sense, in terms of prosperity for the country. Ideology is more important than the truth being pressed out there, and hatred ultimately is more important than health. And that's what Chris Pratt was mocking when he joked about basically pouring Clorox in his kid's cereal. I mean, it's absurdity, right? It's the mindset that says, I'd rather sabotage myself, my family, and my nation than admit that Trump might actually have done something good for the good of the country. That's not political disagreement. That's spiritual blindness, and that's cultural insanity at its finest. And so I think we have to give credit where credit is due in this instance. Chris Pratt isn't a firebrand. He doesn't spend time ranting on Twitter. He seems to be a family man, a believer, and by Hollywood standards, a unicorn in a sense, right? So for him to stand up, even with humor, and basically say enough with the hate, enough with the irrationality, that takes exceptional courage to do so. He obviously knows the risks. He obviously knows the mob that's there, and yet he said it anyway. And so here's the lesson for us. Cultural courage isn't always about being speech, about, you know, giving speeches, if you will. Sometimes it's really just about simple truth and spoken in a very plain way. One voice can pierce the noise, I think. One laugh can expose the absurdity. One actor, case in point, Chris Pratt, just showed more backbone than most Hollywood combined. And so here's the takeaway from this. When Trump succeeds, America succeeds. Because I don't see him doing this for himself. I see him doing this for the good of the country. So if you're blinded by hate that you can't celebrate the prosperity and the success of your country, you're not just anti-Trump, you're anti-American. And Chris Pratt just called it out. He roasted it, and he's right about this. And so we can't let hate blind us. And I mean, share this out to your friends and people that you know that are completely opposed to Trump. Look, let them know we must celebrate truth, celebrate freedom. whatever that is, and let a country root for its own success, not against it. And I think that's highly important. And so what a great thing, and hats off to Chris Pratt for doing this and for standing up. Now, as we switch gears, breaking tonight under the direction of President Trump, DNI, Tulsi Gabbard has lowered the hammer. 37, I repeat, 37 current and former intelligence officers and officials, names that you would recognize, names tied to the very heart of the deep state, have had their security clearances revoked. And this is what the letter says. The U.S. government security clearance system exists to protect classified national security information and to ensure that those entrusted with access to our nation's most sensitive information uphold the highest standards of integrity, objectivity, and stewardship. It is the determination of this office that certain individuals have had engaged in some or all of the following conduct undermining those standards, to include politicization or weaponization of intelligence to advance personal, partisan, or non-objective agendas inconsistent with national security priorities, failure to safeguard classified information in accordance with applicable laws, regulations, and agency policies, failure to adhere to professional analytic tradecraft standards, and other conduct detrimental to the trust and confidence required for continued access to national security information. The president has directed that effective immediately, the security clearances of the following 37 individuals are revoked. Their access to classified systems, facilities, materials, and information is to be terminated forthwith. Any contracts or employments with the U.S. government by these 37 individuals is hereby terminated. Any credentials held by these individuals must be surrendered to the appropriate security offices. Each agency should review the list of individuals and take the appropriate actions to comply with the president's direction. Agencies are asked to provide my office with a notification as soon as the revocation is complete. Now, on page 2, it lists out the individuals. Okay? Andrew Cedar, Andrew Miller, Benjamin Cooper, Beth Sanner, Brent Holmgren, let's see who else. And so the list goes on and on and on. 37 individuals, and it says intelligence community professionals must remain nonpartisan, fact-driven, and committed to truth above all else. All personnel are reminded that holding a clearance is a privilege, not a right. And this privilege is contingent upon continued adherence to the principles and responsibilities of our profession. Any betrayal of these standards compromise not only our mission, but also the safety and security of the American people. So the message in this is being entrusted with America's secrets is a privilege. It is not a right. And Tulsi Gabbard just put it plainly in this whole thing. Look, those in intelligence who betray their oath to the Constitution and put their own interests ahead of the American people have broken the sacred trust they promised to uphold. And in doing so, she said that they've essentially undermined national security. They've betrayed you and me, the American people, and they've violated the very principles of our republic. And that is why, effective immediately, these 37 clearances are bye-bye. They're gone. Now, what crimes did these individuals commit against the trust placed in them? Well, the memorandum spells it out. It says the politicization... God, I can never say that word correctly. Politicization or weaponization of intelligence for partisan gain. Right, chat? Failing to safeguard classified information, ignoring analytic tradecraft standards, and leaking and manipulating intelligence to push narratives instead of truth. And this sounds way too familiar, right? These are the exact abuses that we've seen for years. The swamp protecting itself by twisting these intelligence aspects to fit their agendas. And the list is not small. We're talking about Brett Holmgren, Stephanie O'Sullivan, Richard Leggett, right? Samantha Vinegar, Yael Eisenstadt, and dozens of these other Obama-appointed era intel operation and officials, foreign policy shops, and media influence networks. And for years, these are the individuals that sat on panels, went on cable TV, collected government contracts while holding active clearances, and that ends immediately. And this is historic on so many different levels because never before has a president directly ordered a purge of security clearances at this type of scale. Well, why, Joey? Why has that never been done? Well, because those clearances were never meant to be political currency. They were meant to safeguard America. But under the old regime, they became meal tickets. A revolving door, essentially, chat, between government power, private consulting, and then media manipulation. And the same people who failed in Afghanistan, who lied about Russia, who testified under oath one way, and then went on CNN basically the next night saying the opposite, these are the people that broke the trust of America. And let's not miss the irony. Tulsi Gabbard, the once Democrat, once shunned by her own party for daring to question endless wars, is now the DNI under 47. And she's doing what so many before her were too cowardly to do, and that's to clean house. And so her words in all this were extremely clear, right? The intelligence community must be nonpartisan. It's got to be fact-driven. It's got to be committed to truth above all else. That's the job, nothing more and nothing less, chat. And so this isn't just about these 37 individuals losing their badges. What it's really about is the accountability that finally comes to a sector of government that thought it was untouchable for so many years. We're talking about decades. The intelligence community, the IC, acted as a shadow government, completely unaccounted and accountable. We're talking about uncorrected and unafraid to manipulate the truth for power. I mean, they did it wide out in the open. And so Trump and Tulsi just reminded them, you serve the people or you serve nothing. And so tonight, the swamp is definitely shaken. 37 revoked, 37 lives of privilege and influence brought to an abrupt end in the sense of the intelligence communities. And for the first time in a long time, I think the American people can finally breathe a little bit easier knowing that the betrayal comes at a cost. And the war from truth is obviously far from over, but I think tonight the people won this battle among that which will come during this war, which I think is highly required. And I'm glad that it finally came.
We've seen, as you know, 500,000 children trafficked over a 4-year period in the United States. This administration is going to investigate every instance of child trafficking, labor trafficking, sex trafficking, child smuggling, and all the attendant crimes involved in that. And our message to everyone in the country is to cooperate fully with Immigration and Customs Enforcement so that we can end the scourge of child trafficking and child abuse that has been endemic these last 4 years.
Something that you should have that you haven't reported. As you know, 300,000 children are missing, right? 300,000 under Biden. We've already gotten back 10,000 of those children, and we have a lot more planned to come back. We're getting them back by the thousands. But 300,000, and as of this morning, over 10,000 we've gotten back.
So President Trump has said it again, and this time, chat, he has said it loud enough as we pivot for the whole world to hear about this child trafficking. We're talking missing children, the most urgent, most devastating crime against humanity, and the reason so much of this fight even exists. In Trump's words, he says, look, the children have always been the top priority. And here's the quote that he said. He said, President of the European Commission and I have been discussing the massive worldwide problem of missing children. This is likewise a big subject with my wife, Melania. It's a subject at the top of all lists. And the world will work together to solve it, hopefully bringing them home to their families safely. And so, look, this isn't some throwaway line that he put in. This is a mission statement. And let's be honest here, chat. Washington spends its time chasing these endless wars, fake scandals, and these bureaucratic games. But this single greatest evil that is in place on this earth is the buying and selling of children. And this gets buried far too often. Every year, we're talking hundreds of thousands vanish worldwide. We're talking many of them never come home. I've shared you guys the stories from people that I know inside of the communities with respect to DHS, etc., who've shared horror stories with me. Some are trafficked across borders. Some are funneled into horrific industries. And the media is absolutely silent about all this. And so Trump in this is not silent. Melania is not silent. She's been very vocal about this, and they've put the issue at the top of their list, which is phenomenal. And now Once you understand that it's always been about the children, everything else begins to start making sense. Why the endless attacks? Why the nonstop fake investigations? Why the smear campaigns against the Trump and his administration? Because when you target the heart of darkness, the darkness is going to fight back, and the darkness has always been obsessed with kids. These pedophiles, man. And so you got to make no mistake about this. The trafficking industry isn't just some random business. It's organized. It's highly profitable. And it's protected by the people who are in power. And so Melania Trump has been surrounding this whole issue and sounding the alarm on this for years. Her Be Best campaign wasn't about PR. It was about protection. Protection from predators online. We're talking about protection from traffickers. We're talking about protection from the forces that prey on innocence. And so while the media's mocked her accent and her wardrobe, she was fighting the real battle for the children who can't fight for themselves, chat. And this is bigger than America. That's why Trump raised it with the European Commission, because trafficking is global. We're talking about from cartel corridors in Mexico. We're talking to war zones in Africa. To hidden networks all throughout Europe and Asia, children have consistently been disappearing. And so this is not some left or right issue. This is good versus evil. This is humanity versus inhumanity. And here's the part that should stir everyone up with this, with rage. And with a mindset that says, hey, no, we want to take part in this fight, because saving the children, saving this country, it's the mission patriots have signed up for. That's what we're here for, chat. Not just politics, not just some economic structures, but the defense of innocence. And we won't stop until that mission is complete at all costs. So remember this, right? Remember, when you see the chaos, when you see these attacks, when you see all the noise that comes about from all these other things that are happening, know what it's really all about. It's about the children. It's always been about the children and the fight to bring them home, the fight to keep them safe, the fight to end this nightmare once and for all. Is the fight worth everything? That's the fight that's worth everything. And we're not going to stop and we're not going to settle until this mission is complete and until we've done something effectively about this to end this injustice and this perversion and this assault that's come upon those who cannot defend or protect themselves. And that's why we stand up proudly to stand in their place and fight against this evil. It is so much more than just physical. It is spiritual in nature. I believe it is demonic. And we have to join forces in this area. And we have to fight back against it because we are their only line of defense.
The school year in Virginia getting started, but there's already controversy over transgender issues. Many districts defying President Trump's orders. Chief Washington correspondent Mike Emanuel is here tonight with that story. Good evening, Mike.
Brett, good evening. Fox News has confirmed two male students in Loudoun County, Virginia public schools are being suspended for their interaction with a female student who identifies as a male. The female student recorded the interaction in the boys' locker room. The male students are being accused of sexual harassment and sex-based discrimination for their reaction to a biological girl being in the boys' locker room. An attorney representing the male student says the punishment is 10-day suspension and a no-contact order with the complaining student. A new school year is starting with five Northern Virginia school districts in hot water with the Education Department for violating a directive to come into compliance by last Friday on its gender identity policies. Quote, the Virginia districts will have to defend their embrace of radical gender ideology over ensuring the safety of their students. Alexandria City Public Schools board chair and its superintendent tried to reassure its community that things won't change. Quote, please know that ACPS's current policies regarding the rights of all students to use restrooms and locker rooms in accordance with their gender identity will remain in place. America First Legal filed complaint with the Education Department against the five districts and is blasting their leadership for defying a federal directive.
I quite frankly think they're afraid They're afraid of a handful of activists in their community that put this pressure on them to cater to a very tiny segment of the population that is demanding that the rest of the students cater to their will, which is against the law. It's against Title IX.
The defiant districts could lose an estimated $50 million or more per year in federal funding over this fight. Right? Okay, well,
and this is the type of insanity, chat, that I wanted to bring to you with respect to children, right? We're talking about protecting children. We're talking about the fact that there's all these missing children. But this is the core. This is the heart of where this stuff starts. Because you have these insane idiots like this in the school systems who are protecting this type of behavior because at the core of it, the people who are at the top are pedophiles. And they want this type of behavior to happen. Why do you think that they're pushing so hard for transhumanism? Right? The merging of man and machine, because they want to degrade all genders down and say, hey, there's gender fluidity across the board. It doesn't matter if you consider yourself male or female. Everyone should just get blended into this one big melting pot. It doesn't matter. Let's teach kids this. Hey, your sexuality, you can explore with whatever you want. Going against God's biology, God's natural design. And look, and so anyway, we see from the very basic levels, this attack is very orchestrated and being done at a very small level. Now, this guy, this reporter says, look, hey, this very small percentage of people want this to be in place, this gender affirming, gender identity, etc. It's not about the small percentage. What it's about is, at its core, a fight to justify pedophilia. And it starts that if they can get this to be done among the level of kids at the same age as each other, then they can ladder this all the way up and therefore justify their own behaviors and the crimes that they've been committing and that they'll continue to commit against kids. That's what this is all about. Make no mistake about it. This is perverse in nature. It is sexually deviant. It is meant specifically in this way as a demonic intrusion and infiltration of God's natural biological design and the way he intended things to be. That's what this is about. And it always, as the enemy always does, goes against the weakest link. And in this case, it's the children. And so make no mistake about it, right? This just in that took place there in Loudoun County, Virginia, regarding these boys that have been suspended from school. What did we say? Not for fighting, not for cheating on some test, not for breaking any laws whatsoever, but why? Because they were suspended, because they were uncomfortable sharing their locker room with a biological female who identifies as a male. And it's pure lunacy is what it is. And I want you to think about what we're saying here. Young men, minors, walking into their locker room, they expect privacy, right? They expect safety. They expect normalcy. But instead, this female student who claims to be male is allowed to go inside. When these boys object, when they express their discomfort and say, hey, I'm not cool with this, man. I want to be able to, you know, change my pants out and change into my PE clothes or whatever, go take a shower and not have this person here. The school doesn't protect them? Are you kidding me? Like, if we were saying this 50 years ago, what do you think this would have ended up as? But this is the ultimate goal of ideological subversion, of psychological warfare. It is to first demoralize. That is phase one. And the school, in this case, punishes these boys, suspended, for refusing to surrender their privacy. This is the twisted logic, chat, of today's woke school system. Yeah, Wilson, you're right. Insanity, demonic. Yep, bad moon. It's all Marxist tactics. That's right. That's exactly what it is. And so they tell you that tolerance means silence, right? They tell you inclusivity means compliance. And if you dare to say that you don't feel comfortable about something, suddenly you're the one that's the problem in all this. It's upside down morality. It's to protect the ideology and punish the children. That's what it's doing. And thankfully, someone is stepping up to the plate because Assistant AG Hamrit Dilon is on the case. She's made it clear this is very wrong and she's not going to stand for it. And she's right, because it's not just about locker rooms. It's not just about that. It's about rights. It's about safety, and it's about the rule of law. And at the very core of it, it is about God's natural design. Schools cannot violate the privacy of one group of students to appease the ideological aspects of another. And we got to make no mistake about this, because this is bigger than a single suspension. Because if they're able to punish these boys for objecting to the opposite sex in their own locker room, what's next? Then it becomes showers. Then it becomes these overnight field trips. Then it becomes sports teams and so on and so forth. This isn't about compassion for confused students. Okay? This is about coercion and forcing children to accept what they know biologically is wrong within their own conscience, and then punishing them for that, you know, if they don't want to comply with that. And let me just say this. God created male and female. And that truth isn't hateful. This isn't political. It's reality. And there's too many people that have been allowed to live in this fantasy land that they've accepted as their own reality. And so when schools start disciplining kids for living in reality, that's when you know the system has been hijacked and it absolutely is destroyed. It's not education. That's when you know it's indoctrination and it's being enforced with suspension slips in this case. And here's what has to happen. Parents, if you're listening to this, grandparents, aunts, uncles, you got to rise up. School boards have to be challenged. Lawsuits must be filed. The books must be thrown at these officials, because every child in Loudoun County and frankly across America deserves the right to privacy and protection. This lunacy cannot stand, pure and simple. And I think this is a turning point, because the more these schools reveal their agenda, the benefit to us is that it gives us as parents and those in place who have a right mindset to stand up as patriots and fight against this to stop this issue. And we have to do it. And so tonight, as we wind down into our show for the Vontaze Point, first of all, I want to thank all of you popping in here and chiming in. Bad Moon, Mountain Tortuga, Eileen, Susan, Denise. All of you for chiming in and dropping your opinions on this as well, because your opinion matters. Wilson, everybody in here, thank you so much for popping in. And look, as we start with God here on LFA TV, we also end with God. And I want to talk about something that's not just political, not just cultural, but this is deeply spiritual at its core. President Trump, in highlighting this problem, this worldwide issue about child trafficking, missing children, I just showed you, this is where it starts to stem from, because idiots like this create this ideology for their own perversions and then press the issue, because underlying all this, these people want the kids. It's all about the children. And I believe the word of God has always declared the same thing, right? That it's always been about the children, because from Genesis to Revelation, God's heart for children is unmistakable. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, God commands parents. He says, teach these words diligently to your children. We can go to Psalms chapter 127 and verse 3. The Bible says, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Matthew chapter 19, verse 14, Jesus himself says, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And the enemy has always attacked what God treasures most. Why do you think Pharaoh slaughtered the Hebrew boys in Exodus? Because he knew a deliverer was coming. Why did Herod massacre the infants of Bethlehem? Because the Messiah had been born. And the enemy always targets the children, because the children are the future of God's people. And so today, the same satanic spirit has been alive. We're talking child trafficking, exploitation, abuse plague that's been across the world. Millions of innocent kids and lives are stolen every single year. And while the world looks away, God does not. So this is not just some political problem, chat. It's a moral and spiritual battle that's at stake. And so when world leaders like Trump and the First Lady Melania say, you know, the children are at the top of the list, it echoes, I believe, the heartbeat of God. Because once you realize that this fight has always been about the kids, everything else starts to make sense. So what about us, the people of God? Proverbs chapter 31, 8 and 9 says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. speak up and judge fairly, defend the rights of the poor and the needy. That is our calling. To be a voice for the voiceless, to protect the innocent, to fight for these children. See, we can't sit back and just sit back and watch while a culture of death and exploitation rages all around us, Chad. We've got to stand. We got to intercede. And we got to take action. And I want you to understand this here on the Vontez Point today. If you heard nothing else I said, child trafficking isn't just a crime, it's a spiritual warfare. And Ephesians 6:12, which I've quoted so often, reminds us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these principalities, against these wicked powers, against these rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Behind these traffickers, chat, behind these shadowy networks, if you will, behind all this corruption, there are demonic powers, but greater is he who is in us than he who is in this world. And when the church and when the people of God begin to rise in prayer, when believers fast, when parents show up at meetings, when parents show up before school boards, when leaders begin to take action and lead, which is what, as the children of God, we are called to do, is to lead, the enemy's schemes begin to collapse. And so here's the call tonight. The call is to guard your homes, pray for the children of this nation, chat, support leaders who are bold enough to confront this type of evil, and above all else, believe that God is raising up a generation of deliverers, just as he did with Moses, just as he did with Jesus. It has always been about the children. It's still about the kids. And until every child is safe, until every child is free, until every child knows the love of Christ, the mission is not complete, chat. So we got to rise to the occasion. We got to fight on our knees in prayer, yes. And with our lives in action, getting out there and actually speaking. Jesus said, whatever you did for the least of these, you did it unto me. It's time to stand up and fight. And so I wanted to speak this to you today and bring this as the final portion of the Vontez Point in today's show, because it is that crucial and it requires us to stand and do something about it. So let's pray. Let's cap off our day together. Let's pray for the kids. Let's pray for this nation. Let's pray for this move and this push of President Trump and Melania to fight for kids, to end child trafficking. Let's pray and let's believe God for miracles and for breakthrough in this time as we cap off our show. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today for your word. We thank you today for your promises, for your protection, that even though, God, there are forces of evil that are at work to destroy our nation, to destroy families, to destroy children, to bring this perversion in place, God, we stand opposed to it. We stand up against it. And we know that ultimately you stand with us opposed to these forces of evil. And we pray that you would break their power. We pray that you would destroy and expose the deeds of darkness that have been done. Bring these people to light, God, that their deeds would be exposed and there would be prosecutions and things, God, judgment, consequences against these individuals who harm children. We pray, God, free these children. Keep them from death. Keep them from harm, God. And save them, God, and restore, God, back unto them, God, your innocence, your power, and protection. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Help us as parents, God, even though we may have a million other things going on in life, to not neglect the fact that we must stand in the gap for those who cannot stand for themselves and speak out. Give us power, give us boldness, give us favor, and ultimately, God, give us breakthrough. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. And all God's people here on the Vontez Point said, amen. Don't go anywhere. Up next is Hannah Faulkner. Be sure to stay right here locked in on LFA TV to watch this amazing show. Invite some friends if you haven't already. Text them. Invite them to come watch. Stay with us right here, and I will see you again tomorrow on the Vontez Point. God bless all of you amazing people, and I pray.